scripture to Hebrews chapter 12 as we continue on and study and preaching through the great book of Hebrews. The title of this message is Running Our Race. Running Our Race. Something for us to think about after we finish that great Hall of Fame, the chapter 11 and the Faith Hall of Fame. We saw all the great men and women that went on before and the faith that they had in triumphs and in trials. And then it's almost like the author turns to his audience and they've been privileged as he's walked them through this great chapter. And it's like he's telling them, hey, look at these guys and how they've run their race and how we are to be encouraged to run of ours. And all through the scripture we'll see metaphors and similes, and it's great ways of teaching and illustrations in the scripture. And nothing better than, and Paul used this illustration many times, is running a race, running our race. So I want us to think about these verses, the aspect of running our race this morning. Take, if you would, and take your scripture, whether it's electronically, have it in your hand, open it up, and there's pew Bibles, or I hope there's some in front of you there. People take them home, that's fine, as long as you're using them. Listen, but I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, stand to your feet to reverence the reading of God's Word. Why do I do that? So that you know that I'm teaching and preaching to you not from an agenda, not from what I say, but what thus says the Word of God. It's so important. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, let your word go forth. Touch our hearts for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. As Christians, we are called to run our race. There's many times that we can see that life is like that, and I'll share with you some of ours. Sandy and I, actually, in our younger day, believe it or not, ran, and I've shared that with you before. That was a long time ago, wasn't it, baby? Ran in some endurance races, and so some of the analogies I can actually grasp and hopefully show you some of the things that we learned. But I want us to look at three truths in running our race this morning. Three truths. The first is run with perseverance. Look at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. When I look at this great verse right here, there's three words that jump out at me. First is encouragement. It says, therefore, since, and he's going back, he's referring back to chapter 11 and all the great men and women that he listed many of them by name. He starts out Abel, Enoch. He goes through Noah. I mean, he talks about Moses. He talks about these great men of God and women of God. He talks about Rahab, all these people that in their faith, they pleased God and they ran their race. And he's saying, therefore, since we also, he's encouraging us. This encouragement comes by seeing others that have run before us. Do you know there have been many men and women that have gone on and had lived the Christian life out, and have passed the baton, if you please, on to us. And he says, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. The presence of great people, if we're not careful, people that we hold in honor, it can be intimidating. Have you ever been in those situations? I have to share something with you. I don't think I've ever shared. When I was in Bible college, preaching class, Dr. Greg Heisler, which was over the pastor, former pastor over at Mount Vernon. Spring of the year, Lee, you remember it. Wayne, you probably do too. They would pick students out of that class to preach in front of the entire chapel. Now, chapel was a required thing at that time. So every year they would get the boys out of the college and the seminary, and they would be a week, and everybody came. You're required to be there. The place would be packed. That you were to get up and preach a sermon in front of everybody. Well, just guess what? God, in his great sense of humor, he picked me. I'll never forget that. But listen, I told God, I said, if you give me the platform, I'll address something I've seen that stuck in my heart. And he reminded me, I mean, this was years to begin with, he reminded me that I had made that statement. Guess what? And he gave me that platform. But that's not what I want to talk about right now. I want to talk about the mind job that went through me. All my profs, all my peers, it was all right going into preaching class. They'd pick you apart. You'd get up and preach a sermon, and you'd just sit there, and they'd pick the things that you did all right and the things that you didn't do good. And we were used to that. But I was thinking, man, it's everybody in that whole school that's going to be picking me apart. You know what I'm saying? And here's the deal. My profs, not to mention the great preachers that had stood behind that desk. I had seen Adrian Rogers, and I had seen John MacArthur Jr. I'd seen these great guys, I mean, that you don't even think about coming close to. And then I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? And that's Sandy. She was on that journey. I said, what are you doing? Why in the world would you put? They made fun of me and said that sounded like I crawled out from under a rock anyway. And then he put me on display, right? And I told him I did. I crawled out from under Table Rock. That's where I was from. Listen. But I'm going to tell you what God taught me. Because I wanted to impress so bad. I wanted to do so well. And you know what I realized? That was my wrong motivation. I was wrong. You know what he taught me? Audience of one. And I'm going to tell you, that sounded real easy. That came with a lot of anguish and a lot of prayer and a lot of ripping. I preach in every Sunday, and I want you to love me and care. I'm just a human. I'm not going to act like I'm not. But I preach for an audience of one every Sunday because of what he taught me back there in Bible college. And I'll never forget, I stepped into that pulpit, and it was the freest that I've ever preached, I believe, in my whole life, because I'd already purposed not to please anybody in this audience, but to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when we hear these great people who went before us, a lot of times we compare ourselves to them. How can we compare to Moses? How can we compare to Noah? Well, you can't. That's not what he's saying. And so we should never try to do that. We're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, and I want you to know one thing that he's not saying. Everybody, they're not up there in heaven looking down and around. I hope you don't get that in your mind, that they're up there in this big arena is what it looks like, and they're cheering you on from heaven. That wouldn't be heaven when you're looking down on hell, okay? Let me just say that. How in the world would it ever be heaven if that's what heaven's like? So get rid of that traditional thought. He's talking about the witnesses that have went on before us. And it's almost like he's using this metaphor, and he's saying, look, it's like they're sitting there and they're cheering you to go on in your race. And he lists off those great ones that went on with trials and tribulations. And last week we learned that, you know, it's all right when our triumphs, when we think about triumphs, and it's okay to be victorious, but what about the trials that the lineage said some were sawed in two, some were stoned, some were killed with the sword? Now, we don't like that list, do we? But yet they were still, their faith was encouraging. God was pleased with that. From history, they're watching, not from heaven. And you know what they're saying? You can do it. You can do it. Hear their encouragement. Because the truth is, they're men and women, Christians, just like you are. The same. Listen, most of them didn't have the Spirit of God that dwelt within them. Come on. How much more so should we run with encouragement? I couldn't help but think, in this very church right here, this church is 186 years old. Almost two centuries. Almost two lifetimes of great people that have sat on these pews that come before us. We're going to do something a little different. Somebody name somebody that has sat on these pews that was a great example in your life. Name them out. Call them out. Who's somebody? Who? Who? Hazel Stanberry. Who else? Leslie Norris. Who else? Burnley Green. Glenn Howe. Great men and women that sit on this pew that put their whole life at that. I buried some great ones. Ruby Tribbett, Charlie Risk, Mary Risk. Oh my goodness, J.B. Tribbett. Think about the great ones that have come and gone on to be with the Lord. They've run their race. You know what? It's almost like because of that witness, they're saying, you can do it. You can do it. And be encouraged today, church. The writer's saying, it's time for you to run. You know what he's saying? If you're not a Christian, get into the race. Because you have to enter it before you can ever hope to win. If you are a Christian, run with endurance. You know what he's saying? Don't give up. Don't give up. Encouragement's first word. But listen, the next word I see is encumbrance. What does it say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. One of the greatest problems in running is weight. I want you to know I could not get out there right now and make it very far. Okay, why? I've got something that's wrapped around me right now that's called weight. Larry, you know this. Just a few pounds can make a difference in your running. And whenever you are running any distance race, the thing that you wanted to do, you want to be at the optimum weight. All these things, why? So you could run the very best that you can. You could do the very best race that you can have. And he's saying right here, lay aside the greatest weight is encumbrance. It's simple, a bulk or a mass or something that keeps us from running well. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Often, something perfectly innocent and harmless, but weighs us down, diverts our attention, saps our energy, or dampens our enthusiasm for the things of God. The weight. It can be a friendship, an event. It can be some kind of pleasure, some entertainment. It can be honor. It can be something that's poisoning to you, that's keeping you from running. And please, when I read this, listen. And he says, "Not that's the weight." And he said, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Please don't miss that. The sin, not sin. The sin, I'm thinking. He's talking individually. Listen, each of us has something that we struggle with. Envy, jealousy, dishonesty, gossip, lust, slander, money, laziness, hatred, critical spirit, pride. The sin, what is it that hampers you from running your race? My race is not your race, and your race is not mine. And guess what? We're not competing against each other. We'll see in a little bit. But he's saying, lay aside. We have this encouragement from others, but we have also this encumbrance that we need to get rid of to help us run our race. What is it that we're struggling with this morning that's keeping us from running our race? What is it? Because the next word I see is endurance. Look what it says. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The great thing about our race is we can finish if we're wise and listen to His Word. The key to this race is endurance and perseverance. Listen. Man, you'll get on that start line. You'll have your little number. You're ready to go. You're so pumped up, but you know that if you can't be so excited because the crowd is around, the crowd's cheering you, and that gun goes off, and you take off, and if you're not careful, well, you're sprinting almost because you're so pumped up. You have to use your mind. You have to do well. That starting point is a great place because everybody's cheering you on, but you know what? After you get out past that starting point, you get in the middle of the race, and that's where it's lost or won. Why? There's no cheering going on. There's no crowd. You know what's out there? Just you. There's other runners out there, but your greatest competition is you. You're your greatest problem. And when you're out there, it's the middle of that race and that perseverance that keeps you pressing on. And you keep on and you remind yourself of, and you're looking at your time and you're making sure you're not too fast because you know that when you turn around that corner off in the distance, you know what you start hearing? You start hearing the cheering again. And you start seeing the finish line way off. And I don't know what it is about it, but it's almost like you get that second win. It's like, yes. And you get, and it's almost like you hit this wall somewhere in the middle. But then when you get to that second win, it's as if you can keep on running. And you run and you finish well there as you hear the crowds begin to cheer. is not a sprint. This is not a sprint. It doesn't matter how fast you run, but that we finish. How do we finish? We listen to His Word. And we're not, again, racing against each other. We're not racing against those saints as example. What is it? Satan and ourselves is our greatest enemy in the race, okay? Run with perseverance the race that's set before us, is what the Scripture says. Not a sprint, but that we persevere. That's we begin with. Run with perseverance. Secondly, run with focus. Look at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The answer to temptation is what? Focus. Looking at Jesus. That's our answer here to temptation. The great heroes were encourager, but only Jesus is our example. He's the one that we look to and focus on. Constantly focus on Jesus means looking away from all else and focusing on that which fills our heart, Jesus. You see, if you're in that race and you're looking at everybody else, you'll forget, you'll allow them to set the pace, you'll forget about the finish line, you'll forget that which you're focusing on doing. Focus on Jesus. All the heroes that are referenced in chapter 11 were witnesses to God, not us. They're witnessing unto God. Yes, they're great examples, but they're witnesses to God. Oh, we can run as they did, but nothing has nothing to do with how we compare to them, but how we compare to God. How do you compare to Christ in the race that He ran? How do we, when we grasp, when we understand, when He came to this earth as a man and gave His life on Calvary, took our sins upon Him, and was died and was buried, and the third day arose so that we could be and focus on Him and have the greatest example that we ever need in this life. You look at people, and listen this morning, they will disappoint you. Can anybody say amen? I will disappoint you as a man. Jesus never disappoints. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Focusing on the right person gives you the right perspective. Let me say that again. Focusing on the right person gives you the right perspective. Listen, I saw, what do we focus on first? His authorship. Look what it says. The author and finisher of our faith. What does that mean? He's the beginning and the end. He is the finisher or perfecter of our faith. Take your eyes off of what you're looking at and focus on Jesus this morning. Listen, our worship, we come here and sometimes I wonder if we ever worship. Why? What are we focusing on? What are we focusing on? We practice on Wednesday nights. I try to pray. During my prayer, I say, Lord, help us as a choir not to entertain, not to make everybody happy, but to please You. To please You, to sing unto You. Lord, when I preach a sermon, help me not to try to please the people that are sitting in the pews, but to please You. And in so doing that, what do? We worship. We have to focus on Him. What is your focus on this morning? Is it on worship? Is it on Christ? How can we come and sit in a pew or come and gather together? Can we do that and never worship? Yes, if our focus is not on Him. There's so many things that pull at us in this life. So many things. We talked about the storms as we're finishing up in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, he's talking about people building their house on the rock. You saw when the storms of life come. Because they do come. Can we say amen? Just because we're right or in a right relationship with God does not mean that we don't face the storms of life, because they rage. And you live in a world, a pagan nation now, that hates you and doesn't stand on the things of God anymore. And so it's not, we can't, why are we so aghast when lost people act like lost people? What I'm aghast about is when God's people act like lost people. That's when I'm aghast, okay? And we're to act like God's children. And he's saying, focus on His authorship as we're running this race. Worship Him. Don't get distracted. Life is full of distractions. Life is a distraction in itself, is it not? Just going through the motions. Focus on His authorship, but not like that. Look, focus on Him, just that, but His attitude.
Listen to what this says. This is, oh my goodness, get a picture of Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him. His attitude was joy. Look at the fantastic attitude our Savior had. It brought him joy to come and give his life for you and I. It brought him joy to be beaten, to be crucified. That blows my mind, and yet so many times we're the most mealy-mouthed people in the world. Here, oh, praise the Lord, preacher. We should have joy. Now, I don't mean fake and phony either. You've seen all over the street. How are you doing? Oh, everything's good. And you know their life's falling apart. That's not what he wants. He don't want plastic. He wants real. But there's a joy that can't be stolen from us. No matter what circumstance come or what hardships we face, there's a joy that's based on something that's immovable, that's based on Jesus Christ and his joy. When I think about his joy that he came to save a wretched sinner like myself. Oh, I should have joy then no matter what comes my way and what we face in this world. I should have joy in Christ no matter what. And sometimes we tend to think, well, that's Jesus. Listen, he was fully God and fully man. His pain was so intense and his suffering so immense that we can't even comprehend. I believe it's more intense than we could ever fathom as this mere human beings. Yet it said his joy, his attitude. We focus on his authorship, focus on his attitude, but also his atonement. Endured the cross, despising the shame. He went to the cross for you and I. Despising the shame means he thought nothing of the disgrace and the pain that he took. Why? Because of the joy that was ahead. Because look at next thing to focus on, his authority. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sydney, in your prayer today, you said he sits, he makes intercessions for. He rose up out of a grave and he ascended in heaven. Sits at the right hand of God, the authority position, and he forever lives to make intercession for you and I. Oh my goodness, think about that. You have that Savior today. We should focus in our race not on those around, not on the things going on, but the Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, his attitude, his joy, his atonement, he died for us, and his authority, he sits at the right hand of God for you and I. Victoriously, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Listen, we don't have to fear death. There's none of us just can't wait. But we don't have to fear it. Why? He took the stinger out of death. That bee can buzz all it wants to. It can't sting you no more. Because of his atonement, what he did for us, he's victorious. You know what? When he rose up from that grave, he brought many sons and daughters to glory with him. Whew. That's what brought him such joy, and that's why he could endure the pain that he did. He knew that you and I needed a Savior, and we needed hope in this race, and we needed something we could focus on that wouldn't let us down, and that was him. Praise God, in our race. Because, yes, we run with perseverance, and yes, we run with focus, but lastly, we run with purpose. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. How do we run with purpose? We consider him. We not only focus on him, but we consider, we take the thought, the things. We learn from his word. We learn who he is, his person. And when we do that, he gives us purpose. Listen, if you're sitting here and you don't have or you don't feel like you have any purpose in life, let me tell you, if you're in this race with Jesus Christ, you do have purpose. You do have plan. He has great purpose for you. Don't let anybody tell you any otherwise. The Scripture tells us this. He has a purpose and a plan. It doesn't matter what situation we face in life. He has a purpose and a plan for you. And guess what I want you to know? There's no unusables here in this room. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Man will tell you that you're not any good. But you know what? I serve a great God. Woo! Can anybody say amen? And I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please him. And one day I will not stand before man. I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. And to whom much is given, much is required. I want you to know something. That day will be a shouting day for me. I just just hold back up here. Do you understand? I'm just trying to hold back. Because I want to shout now, but I won't. I don't want to scare you to death. And here's the deal. He endured hostility from sinners against himself. He came to save those who wanted to hurt and kill him. And lest you think that wasn't you, Romans 5 tells us and reminds us, when you were yet enemies against God. Who? That's every one of us sitting here in this pew. We were enemies against God. I don't care what kind of heritage you come out of. What if you've been in church 9 months before you was ever born. We were enemies against God. We're all, it is appointed unto man once to what? Die, and after that the judgment. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We were all sinners. We were all enemies against him. Yet Christ died for us. And why did he do this? None of us righteous. And why does he give us purpose? Listen to what he says. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He said, hey, this writer of Hebrews said, you know what? I know that life can be discouraging. I know that on this race you can get knocked around. You can face and have to hurdle pits and all kinds of things that are laid in your way that Satan puts in our way. But you know what? He says, don't become weary and discouraged in your souls. You know what he's saying? Run! Run, brothers and sisters. Run. God has a plan and a purpose for everyone sitting in this room. I believe that or I wouldn't even be standing here. What is your purpose? What is the plan that he has for you? I can promise you this, and I know this by the authority of God's word. It's not just to come in and sit on a pew every Sunday. You understand? There's greatness that it's great to come together, but it's more than that. If we don't put it to use when we walk out this side door, what's any use? Might as well turn on watch Charles Family. He comes on every Sunday. What's the purpose? Is it just to be entertained? He has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. You're important in God's eyes. Each and every one of us, nobody greater, nobody lesser right here. We're all God's children. We're all working together for one common purpose. And what's that? Christ. Christ and his glory. Everyone that has Christ as their saviors in this race, all these heroes that went before us, and Christ is out in his own example, and when we focus on him, you know what he's saying? You can do it! You can do it! Run with perseverance. Run with focus. Run with purpose. Run your race. Win your race. Then it comes to play. How you doing? Applications, and we'll be done. Are you in the race this morning? That's between you and the Lord. Are you in the race, or are you just floundering, and life's just a flounder to you? You're just going through. You don't even know how you're going to make it till tomorrow, to be honest with you. Listen, God, Christ, in his infinite mercy, you're not here for no reason. He wants you to hear the word of God, but just to be a hearer and not a doer is of no use. James said, hey, it's useless. Useless. What does God want from you? Are you in the race? Do you have that relationship with him? Number two, have you become ensnared in anything? What's encumbering you? What is it that you need to just lay off and say, you know what? I've done this and I've carried this for too long. I'm giving it over so I can run with endurance and perseverance. Number three, what is Christ's purpose for you? Let's stand to our feet. This altar is open. What's God saying to you? Spirit of the Lord's working today. What are you going to give him today? Are you lost? Bow your heads before the Lord right now. Is anybody in here that don't know it? Listen, if your life would be required right now and you stood before that Lord I talked about, would he say, enter in, my good and faithful servant, or would he say, depart from me, I never knew you? That the answer to that question tells you if you're lost or saved. It don't mean, well, I've got to quit doing this, I've got to get this better. If you could, Christ never needed to come, okay? But Christ came that he could give you purpose in life. He could give you eternal life. If you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, you come and receive.
receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, right now. Maybe you know that there's a sin, the sin, that individual thing that you've wrestled with for many years that still hampers you. Lay it down. Nothing's worth holding on to. Confess it again. If you confess it 1,000 times, confess it before the Lord. And say, Lord, I want to run my race well. What's your purpose? Well, preacher, I really don't know what my purpose is. Why don't you come and ask the Lord? Why don't you come and ask God? He's waiting for you. The altar's open. Some has come. Well, what about you? You want to go home tonight and you know the Spirit of God's working on your life. He's working. He's bringing you to a point and say, just come. Just lay it down. Be obedient to Him. People are coming. What about you? We're in this thing together, God. How can we ever be the church that God's called us to be if we're not all finding our purpose and our plan for what God wants us to be? Are you lost today? You know what? Walking an aisle won't make you saved. There have been many people that have done that are lost. But you can stand right there in your heart and you can say, God, I know the Spirit of God spoke to me. And you can say, I repent right now. I'm asking Jesus Christ into my heart. I confess my sin. And I'm receiving Him as my Savior. Help me to live from Him from now on. You know what the Scripture says? Those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You don't have to walk an aisle. All you have to do is come face to face with your sin and repent and turn to God. But I promise you this, you will let somebody know. You will let somebody know. In fact, every man that's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have become new. What is He saying to you right now? What is it that He's saying to you? Look here. I love you. Tonight, 5 o'clock, sorry. Look, I'm so used to saying the same thing. 5 o'clock, having the men's. Men are getting together, brotherhood. We just sit around and have a great Bible study. It's a good time. Women do the same thing with Ruth, and studying through the book of Ruth. And you're welcome to come out. Come and be with us. Any way that I can help you, I love you. I do. Any way that I can help you on your spiritual walk, that's why I'm here. Nothing too busy that I don't care enough about you that I won't take time out. If you need to talk, just let me know. But listen, find your place. Run your race.